Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How you doing, everybody? Yes, we are on Thanksgiving Eve. I hope everybody enjoys your Thanksgiving. And you spend it with those that you love. I really just want to dive into this episode. I really do. As usual, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning in. So please tell a friend. I think this is going to be a great episode. So please share this with some friends, some non-friends, some Republicans, some conservatives. Just share this episode. I feel like I got a lot to say. And we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. But I want to start off with my milestone. Miles and I actually sat down and watched a little bit of The Avengers. And they seemed to like it, and it was pretty cool. So, yeah, he's been doing a lot of alphabet and ABCs. And I'm like, you know what? He's four. I need to get him interested in a lot of different stuff. I've been talking to my mom. And he really seems to take a liking to the Avengers. And that's cool, man. To sit down with my little boy and share this father-son moment was cool. So we did that tonight. And he was just like, oh, that's so cool. I want to watch this. Who is that? What are they doing? They're fighting. You know, they're blowing stuff up. So it's just fun to sit down with your little boy as a man and watch some superheroes kick ass. Where to begin? Oh, okay. I guess I'll start with this. It was a fun time. I just got back from New York City. I went last Thursday and Friday to watch a friend of mine, Mark Normand. I'm pretty sure you guys have heard of him. He's been on Conan several times. He did the Tonight Show not too long ago. But he was just filming his one-hour special in New York City. And I said, you know what? This dude has really helped my career out as a comic. I should go out and see him. And I did, and I had a great time. But a little black backstory, for those who don't know, I opened for Mark here in Charlottesville. I want to say, what was it, around the February time frame? Great show. I want to say probably the best show we've had at the Southern since I've been here, that and the Kyle Kinane show. But we hit it off. We kept in touch. And he's the guy who got me the spot with Amy Schumer and all that kind of stuff. So we've kept in touch. And, you know, I get to open for him from time to time. But I decided to go ahead and hop on a train and go up to New York City. And I had a blast. So I left Thursday morning. I was supposed to leave at like 7:06 or 7:09. I'm getting ready to walk out my side door, and boom, I get a text. Train's not leaving at 9:07. So I'm like, what the fuck? I could have slept in. But it actually worked out, because then my wife was actually able to drive me and drop me off and all that kind of stuff. So I hop on the train here in Charlottesville, get all the way to New York City, and on the way I get a text from my buddy Doug Key. And I met Doug Key up in Providence, Rhode Island when I opened for Mark. He came and did a guest spot. And a real cool dude. He hit me up, I want to say about an hour before I got into New York City. And he's like, hey, man, I'm doing a spot at this place, Bunga's Den, at 4. If you want to come out and do some spots. And I'm doing it at the Broadway Comedy Club at 5:30. And I'm like, hell yeah, man. I want to get up and go do some spots. But me being the overbooker that I am, my buddy Andy Chung, I used to be stationed to him in Vegas. He happened to be in New York City. We were going to meet up in Manhattan, have lunch, have a couple of drinks and all this kind of stuff. But me being a comic, I'm like, damn it, I really want to do spots. I also want to hang out with Chung. So I hit up Chung. I'm like, hey, man, we're going to do some spots. You can meet us at this bar, do some comedy. So I get into New York about 3:20, jump off the train. I love New York, man. I really do. It's such a awesome city, man. It's this weird love-hate thing with it, even though I don't. It's just so inconvenient, but there's something about it. I just love it so much. So 3:20, off the train, show's at 4. I'm only 22 minutes away. I hightail it down to Bunga's Den. Where the hell was it? I can't think of the cross streets, but it was kind of like in the lower Manhattan. Hightail it over there. Chung is sitting at the bar. We have a couple J-Mos. In walks Doug Key. We're like, what's up? We hug, we kiss, all that kind of stuff. We're talking, catching up. And the show kind of starts a little bit late. I want to say the guy who ran the show's name was Jeffrey. I'm awful with names, but we're sitting in the show, and it's this New York comedy, man. It's, if I haven't mentioned it before, but open mics in New York City are fucking brutal. It's brutal. I mean, you sit through so many people that just like, why are you even doing comedy? It's just they're probably actors or they're just crazy people off the street. You got to sit through all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, had a good time. So, yeah, had a couple drinks there. I ended up doing a set there. By the time we get up there, it's like, I want to say it's the host, Andy, me, Key is in there, and like two other people. So I want to say maybe four people in the chairs, and there's basically no audience. It's just other comics waiting again to get on. They don't give a shit. All the comics do their set, and they get out of there. They go do another one. So I do my set. We jump in an Uber. We head down to Broadway Comedy Club, and Key had emailed a guy to get us a spot at the Broadway Comedy Club. We get there. There's a female host. She's like, yeah, I never got those emails. So now we got to sit and wait. So we sit there. Key goes on after about an hour. Then I go on. And when we both go on, it's literally the host, her friend, and two other comics and Chung. And this room probably seats about 150 people, if not, it's about 150 people. They're all spread out. So basically one audience member and four comics are sitting there and we go up in due time. It's just, I have no idea how people do comedy in that city, man. It's brutal. But it makes it tough. It makes it tough. What it does for you is it really builds you, it builds your skin, a tough skin. Or you can just get up there and just do jokes in front of nobody. You know, you hit those punchlines, you get no laughs. It just really toughens you up. So when you get to a real show with a real audience, it just seems like a cakewalk. So it's just like a love-hate thing with it. It's like I love doing it, but I kind of feel like I'm just wasting my time because it's like there's no real audience. There's no one really watching. But I have to do it, man, because I just love doing comedy so much, so. So yeah, then we do that. Then I'm terrified of the subway in New York. I can't lie, I'm terrified of the subway. But I had Doug Key with me, so we went down to subway. My boy Chung had to meet some friends at another place, so he took off. So me and Key jump on the subway back to the to my Airbnb, which I hadn't been to yet. I was supposed to check in at 3:30. She texted me and said she won't be ready at 4:30. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll go to the show. I did the Bungus Den at 4. We go to Broadway Comedy Club almost 6:30, even though that show started at 5:30. We get there around 6:30. We don't go on for almost an hour. We sit through a bunch of other comics. And by the time we got done at Broadway Comedy Club and get to the Airbnb, it's like 7:45. I get there. It's kind of in between like Chinatown and the East Village. More Chinatownish. I get up there. The apartment's tiny. Fourth floor walk up. So tiny that the fucking tub is in the kitchen. You walk in, immediately to your left, you have a bathroom / kitchen sink, a little wall, a divider wall. You got the shower right there in the kitchen. You got sink, tub, shower, kitchen table, another counter to cut shit up on, stove, refrigerator, and the bathroom is basically a broom closet that they threw a fucking toilet in. But it's not dirty. It's just really tiny. The room isn't bad at all. It's like a nice little IKEA bed. It's very comfortable. But I don't have time to stay right now because we got to get the Marks taping. The show starts at 9:30. The email said we got to be there by, 8:30 to line up. So, and to mention, I hadn't really eaten all day. I'm trying to do this low/no carb thing where I'm just no bread, no pasta. So that entire 6-hour train ride, all I had was almonds and water the entire time. I had 4 boiled eggs before I left. So I ate the boiled eggs at probably, I want to say at like 6 o'clock that morning. Then I had about 40 almonds throughout that trip. And here it is. It's 7:38. I'm a big dude. I'm 6'2", about 260. I hadn't eaten anything all day. I was trying so hard. I wanted to go to get a steak, but I got the text messages from Doug. He was like, you want to do comedy? I was like, fuck yeah, let's do comedy. I had a couple JMOs on an empty stomach. I was not doing well. So we get back to the Airbnb. I changed my shirt, put on a cool little jacket. We run out. There's a pizza place not too far from the venue. So I broke down. I was like, we don't have time to sit down somewhere like I really wanted to. Get some chicken, some vegetables. I said, fuck it. And I've been in New York maybe 4 times. This is the first time I ever had pizza in New York. So we break down. We have some pizza. I had a Hawaiian slice and a pepperoni slice. Not bad. I'm pretty sure it's just run-of-the-mill New York pizza. Nothing to write home about, let's be honest. Not the fucking best pizza I had. But then again, it's just a run-of-the-mill pizza place. So Doug and I get the pizza. We run over to the venue. The first show runs long. We're hanging out in line, waiting and shit. First show comes out. We finally go in. The place is beautiful. It's at the Ortiz Orange Sands Synagogue on Suffolk Street in the Lower East Side. Didn't know what to expect. We get in. It's a beautiful room. They got the lighting looks dope. The stage looks dope. The way they have it all set up is dope. They got the crane camera coming up with the crowd. They got the camera on the tracks on the stage left side. It's going up and down. The camera on the track, kind of like the real old railroad track thing. And, they're just packing people in. It's standing room only at this point. Luckily, we got there early enough to get a seat. I'm upstairs on the second level. So that means I probably won't be on TV when they air it. Since I was upstairs, they filmed basically the crowd on the lower portion of the venue, but it looked great. Sean Donnelly opened the show. He did about 7-8 minutes, got people warmed up. Then one Amy Schumer came out, got everybody super hyped. Mark came out. He did about 1 hour and 10 minutes or so. I think they're gonna probably cut that down to about 45 minutes. Maybe he did an hour. Maybe it was an hour. Yeah, an hour. Then they're probably going to cut about 15 minutes. But, he killed, man. And I haven't seen his act since Rhode Island. And it's just gotten way better. His act outs are phenomenal. It just took his set from being a kill to an execution. And he was just like, yeah, that's all Schumer, man. She really coached him. But I'll talk about that in a second. So, you know, the taping happens, he kills, it's a great show, everybody's having a great time. After he comes, after he finished filming the set, he has to come back out, and there are a few things that kind of went wrong, I guess, a couple missteps or a fumbling on a word or something like that. So he had to come back out, and we were instructed to laugh like we hadn't heard the jokes before. So I think he did about 7 or 8 different jokes or retakes on certain things that he said. And it was kind of weird at first, a little awkward. Just as a comic, that has to be kind of strange for someone to go, just do this joke. Because in your mind, you've already done like this. All your jokes kind of run together and you get used to telling them in a certain order. So if you don't tell the end of one joke, it's kind of hard for you to just jump into a new one. So It was kind of cool watching him, like, okay, how does that joke go? Like, in front of everybody, like, all right, how do I start this joke? And when I saw that, I was like, okay, I'm not different than any other comic. It's just like, you know your material, it's just hard to do it out of order and just out of the, just kind of like randomly, you know, because it's such an act, you know. It's such a routine. You get used to a certain rhythm, and then when people just ask you, it's almost like asking a musician, just come in on that You know, that seventh note on the 15th stanza. I don't even know if that's a thing. But basically, just coming in at that one random point right there. And it's like, well, shit, I'm used to playing a couple sheets of music first, and then I hit that note. I don't know how to just get to that point. So that happened, and everyone had a great time. He did great. I thought the retaping of the certain segments of the special was phenomenal. It was just cool to watch. And it was also really cool, too, because if you don't know, this is a little, you know, it's kind of pulling back the curtain. If you're a fan of comedy and you see a special, I'm pretty sure people think, like, how do comics always remember all the material? Well, when you film your special, there's a TV screen right there with all your jokes on it. It kind of scrolls just like credits. So as he's going along with his jokes, they're kind of just scrolling up to whatever the next few bits are. So if you ever wonder what that will, you know, how we remember our jokes, when it comes to TV, they put them right there on the screen for you. That way you can't even have a brain fart and have something go wrong. All your jokes are just right there. And it was just cool watching how smooth his transitions were, just watching how the set was developed. Like, this chunk is all about anxiety. This is all about, you know, how I feel about this. And then you have a nice smooth transition into women and into, like, gays. It was just really cool to see. And it was a great time. I learned a lot, and it was just, I'm glad I went, because I came very, very close to not going. So I want to give a shout out to Ken Edwards for really pushing me to go, and my wife for allowing me to go. So after that, we met up with some people, and we went to the after party. Now, this is the first time I've ever been to a corporate after party. This place is on Bleecker Street. It was called Carol's Place. Private room upstairs, a whole bunch of comics there. Sam Morril, Leonard Oots, Monroe Martin, a bunch of other, Stavros was there, a bunch of New York comics, probably like a little too inside. I don't know how much you guys really listen to comedy, but a bunch of New York guys are hanging out there. There were some Comedy Central people there, executives, some really high up people. His agents, his manager, they were all there. I got to talk to all those different people. Open bar. The first time ever going to an open bar. That was dope. I saw people in there drinking beers. I'm like, that's like going to a buffet and just eating the bread. I'm going for the prime rib and the crab legs right off the bat. My first round, we didn't even know it was open bar. Because Doug was like, well, the first round is on me. You can get the second one. So I'm like, all right, I'll just get a Jameson. And he's sitting around waiting to pay, and they're not coming back. And he's like, is this open bar? You know how the bartenders have, like, the little computer screen. I look at it, and I just see, like, fucking 40 drinks on there. I'm like, dude, somebody just didn't order all these drinks. That's not one person's bill. I was like, this is an open bar, man. And once I found that out, it was just, like, top-shelf scotch for me the rest of the night. I was drinking some monkey shoulder whiskey that Mark and his manager were drinking. I don't know how expensive it was, but if some manager dude from L.A. is drinking it, I'm fucking drinking it. I'm not drinking an IPA. Sorry. So, yeah, a bunch of scotches. They had a charcuterie place with smoked meats and cheeses. They had some sliders. They had some hand-cut fries in the open bar. It was just a lot of fun. I got to mingle, got to meet some comics. Had a great time. Probably one of the best nights of my life. So, yeah, we probably hang out there till about almost 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm leaving Friday at 6:45. So I finally hop in an Uber, get back to my Airbnb, and it's like, I want to say almost 5 o'clock. There's a deli open across the street. I go over there and get 6 hot wings. There's some, like, union worker guys that come in. They're fucking hilarious. Stereotypical heavy New York accents. They call somebody a jerk off. I'm dying. I'm pretty tipsy. It's just funny. I just love New York New York dudes, man. Especially, like, that blue collar construction worker guy. It's just hilarious. I've grown up with those guys. I've loved all the mobster movies. I love just East Coast Italian people. And when I see it, like that stereotypical New York shit, Italian guy, hardworking, heavy accent, I lose my shit. So I see those dudes and it's just like, I'm fucking dying. I'm hanging out with the funniest people, some of the funniest people in the world, an hour and a half ago, and I just see like three construction union workers from fucking probably Brooklyn, and they just had me dying, and they're not even talking to me. So I love seeing that shit. But, so shout out to Mark, shout out to Doug Key, shout out to Andy Chung, shout out to my wife and everybody that I saw there this weekend. I had a great time, man. Finally met Leonard Oots, and it was just a great time. Probably one of the best nights ever in comedy. Oh, I met Sinbad. He was there. That was awesome. So, yeah, it was just a great night. Just one of those nights that I'd never thought about ever happening to me when I first started doing comedy almost 9 years ago in Vegas. You know, had some shitty little bar called Pounders. And you think you got all your shit together as a comic and you really don't know anything. And here I am 8 years later in New York City at a Comedy Central taping. Industry people, open bar. It's just fun. Had a great time. So, yep. All right. This is going a little bit long, but there's something I really want to address. And I've been talking about the politics and I try to stay with it, but I just can't. I can't stay away. I'll say this a few minutes, just a few minutes, and I'm out of here. But this whole Donald Trump thing and him not really coming out and truly denouncing these white nationalists blow my fucking mind. It is insane. You guys remember at the last election, this whole Reverend Wright thing that Obama went through where you have Fox News. They were like, this dude's racist. You got somebody that goes to a racist church in the White House. How can you stand for this? This is, you know, what does this say about him? If you're hanging around racist, he has to be a racist, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they were on that shit for, months. That's all they talked about. And here you have video of basically white nationalist neo-Nazis in Washington, D.C., doing the whole Heil Hitler thing, talking about white pride, and this is our God-given position. We need to be in charge. We're conquerors and all that type of shit. And then he does an interview with New York Times, and he's just like, I don't know why these dudes, I don't know what energizes these people. I don't know why they support me. I need to look into it. That's all he says. It's just like when you find out neo-Nazis support you, you should just come out and say, I don't want neo-Nazis supporting me. I do not support that at all. You need to get on TV and look in the camera and go, I do not want to support. I do not agree with your views. I don't like you. I hate you. I hope all your mothers die. You're pieces of shit. You're supposed to do that. That's what they would expect from Obama. But I'm sitting here watching the news, and I watch these surrogates, as they call them now, of Donald Trump come out and say shit like, I mean, he already said he wants to be the president for everybody. And in this interview, he even said, you know, that he doesn't know why these people are supporting him. He's come out and said for people that are committing hate crimes against Mexicans or Muslims to stop it. He said it. What more does he need to say? What more does he need? He said it once. And this one dude even actually has the nerve to say he shouldn't even say anything because all it's doing is highlighting these people and giving them a platform. He shouldn't even recognize them. But yet these same people want other Muslims to come out and adamantly disavow any type of terrorist thing that happens. For the last 8 years, they've been begging Obama to call these dudes Muslim extremists. When he basically is like, yo, I don't want to legitimize these dudes. These guys really aren't Muslim. And here they are basically doing the same thing with these neo-Nazis. Like, hey, you don't really want to give them any stage time or airtime, so you just want to ignore it. And Jeffrey Lord also had the nerve to say that Black Lives Matter and all this other this identity politics provoked this. So somehow it's still people of color's fault that these people exist. The fact that we have a black president kind of provoked this whole white nationalist movement from coming up. Dude. The fact that they blame Black Lives Matter for all this shit that goes on. They want people of color to come out and condemn people of their race. To admit all the wrongdoings of people who share the same ethnic background, the same skin color. To basically just acknowledge why people might not like them and be okay with it. As much as they want that. These same people are trying to just be like, nah, we have nothing to do with these white supremacists. Like, why should we have to answer for how they feel? Exactly. This next time when you see a black dude do some dumb shit or a Muslim person do some dumb shit, some crazy shit, just remember that. Why should we have to answer for something that they did? You getting all riled up about this white supremacist shit? Why should we have the answer to this? Donald Trump should just ignore it. Blows my mind. I couldn't even. This dude is he's got his kids in on phone calls with foreign national leaders. After all this crooked Hillary shit about her pay for play. All this, you know, she used her position for monetary gain and all this kind of shit. And then here you are. When Obama got elected the first time, there are people in this country who thought, like, we have a black man in office. He's about to hand black people the keys to the city. Jobs, money, anything, any and everything. There were so many people afraid of it. They thought we were going to take over. We were going to get everything, and the white man was going to be just shut out from every position known to man. Like, there was just, they weren't going to have anything left. Nothing. Like, he was just going to hand out every single job to niggas. He was going to let people out of jail, put Tyrone in charge of this and that. They just knew that was going to happen, and it didn't. But they were so fearful of that. And here's this man. This man comes in, wants his kids to have a security clearance on phone calls with foreign nationals. Wants his kids helping him run the country. But yeah, y'all were terrified of Obama giving black people shit. And here this dude is trying to set his kids up with positions of power in the White House, and those same people don't even fucking think twice about it at all. Politics is not about the message. It's about the messenger. They don't give a fuck what you say is who says it. Donald Trump could do everything that Obama's done this entire presidency. And those same people that hated Obama would be cool with it because it's their guy. And vice versa. There's going to be liberals that just won't want to listen to Donald Trump because it's Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with what you say. It's all about who says it and it's fucking said. That's why we're not going to get anywhere. You could have all the best intentions in the world, but if you're not wearing the color tie that their guy is wearing, then it's like, fuck you. You're trying to ruin our country. But all right, that's almost a half an hour. I'm done. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. There's a show. That's a show. You guys have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe. Have fun. Eat a lot. Think about people who don't have anybody to spend the holiday with. If you have a coworker or a friend who you think are alone, invite them over. Invite them over. Let them have a meal. Let them hang out in a nice warm house with some people who love each other. And, do a random act of kindness for somebody in this holiday spirit, in this holiday season, in the holiday spirit. Do something. All right, everybody, I'm out of here. You guys have a great weekend. Peace.